Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, if you're not a regular listener to Monday night's Hall of Fame Blues Show, or if you just missed this month's edition of Shake and Dave's Hall Pass, we have some great blues music from the Noah Witherspoon Band later in the program, and Dave's going to join them on a tune. We've got this week's reinvention stories and another edition of Rediscovered Radio. All that and more up first. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is getting a new commander. After a 26-year career in the Air Force, Colonel Cassie Barlow has announced she will retire. The reins of Wright-Patt's 88th Air Base Wing will be taken over by Colonel John DeVellier during a change of command ceremony scheduled for July 17th at the National Museum of the United States Air Force. The 88th is one of the largest airbase wings in the Air Force, putting more than 5,000 military, civilian, and contractor employees under DeVellier's command. He currently serves as Air Force Mortuary Affairs Operations Commander at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. Barlow has served as wing commander since July 17th of 2012. You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Coming up later in the program, Reinvention Stories and Rediscovered Radio.
Welcome to Under Construction, WISO's series on growth in the greater Dayton area. I'm Lewis Wallace. Marine City Manager Dave Hicks says the South Dayton town is in a tough spot financially and still dealing with empty buildings and polluted Superfund sites. That's despite the news that a Chinese auto glass company called Fuyao is coming soon to fill part of the vacant former GM plant. So, Moraine is asking voters on Tuesday to increase the income tax. Almost all Moraine's costs come from income tax, as opposed to the property taxes a lot of places have. I asked Dave Hicks why Moraine has workers rather than homeowners paying the bills.
Moraine has always been a receiver of employment. We are an employment base for the region. There are companion issues that go along with that. For example, let me ask you this. How many landfills do you have in your community? In Moraine, we have 9. There's a companion piece that people sometimes try to ignore that live in bedroom communities where they don't have industry. They think, gosh, we should just bring the money back here. Some of them occasionally will think that. That's just the way it is. We're not objecting to it or protesting, it's just the way it is. But the truck traffic, the pollution, all of those things that are companions to that arrive here. As an employer, we recognize that. That's where things go. Just like landfills, waste has to go somewhere. Unfortunately, it's here. But many of the communities in our region have no landfills in their region. Now, what kind of things does a community have to address in response to that? Well, we have homes in our area that have remediation systems put in because of vapor contamination into the homes. We have some well fields that can't be used because of groundwater contamination. What other things are? Well, you have air pollution, noise pollution, and the traffic and the calls for service from police, fire, streets, and other city services. So while it may on the surface sound like a good idea to say, gosh, we should bring the, why shouldn't we share in that money? That's fine if you share in the cost, expense, and other things that are associated with being an employer in an industrial community.
Those long-term environmental consequences that you're talking about to some of the industry that used to be here, what do you anticipate is the end game with that? How much is going to get cleaned up? Are there any issues with new forms of contamination or new risks as new industries move in?
No, it's concerned about new risk, but frankly, some of the Superfund sites are not going to be cleaned up. I mean, the U.S. EPA has made a decision on containment, and that's it. It just lays there as dormant land, which becomes never available for reuse. When you have that land, it's hard to compete with a green space somewhere. Someone wants to go plow over a farm field and build a new building, and we have an existing contaminated site. It's difficult.
That might take millions of dollars to clean up if it can be cleaned up at all.
Well, and again, in the case of the Cardington Road landfill, for example, there's no intention of cleaning it up. It's just going to remain stagnant forever, or relatively forever, at least in the mindset of the U.S. EPA currently.
And what about Fuyao? That's been the news of, the year, really, so far in terms of jobs coming to the Miami Valley. How is that going to change Moraine's financial needs?
Fuyao will be a great addition to the city. We're very excited about them coming. over the last few years, we've had a few companies come to town. And one of the new companies, Tyler Technologies, came to town, brought about 200 jobs. We have WCR, which was the Pioneer Company manufacturer over at the former GM plant. And we have Heidelberg that moved into the former Cooper Tire building. At the same time, though, that we have all this great things happening, we do have some other things going the other way. We have Primetime Party Rental, which employs about 125 people. They have been in town for years. They just bought a building in West Carrollton, so they're moving. We have the Berry Company moving to Kettering with about 300 employees. A technology company in town called Laystar. They were bought recently, and of course that causes us to be somewhat nervous about their 225 employees that are in the city. And we have another company that's not public yet that we're negotiating with that has been talking about leaving the city for some time. They have about 100 employees. So we're winning some and losing some. We're dog paddling in the pool. We're not making a lot of progress right now, but we are making progress.
That's Moraine City Manager Dave Hicks. And this is Under Construction, WISO's series on growth in the greater Dayton area. We dig underneath the physical and economic markers of growth to look at the human consequences. For WYSO, I'm Lewis Wallace.
You can hear more of our series Under Construction on the WYSO website at wyso.org. Coming up after the break, this week's reinvention story, Jim Bucher is well known to most Miami Valley residents. He spent 30 years as a photographer, reporter, and TV personality on WDTN Channel 2, but changes in the media landscape brought changes to Jim's professional and personal life. That's coming up after the break.
This week, American Roots is on the corner for some doo-wop duades from the past and present. Aaron Neville sets us straight with his recording of 50s classics. And Brooklyn-bred Kenny Vance of Jay and the Americans shares the art of doo-wop. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Coming up this afternoon at 2 on your public radio station, 91.3 WYSO.
Jim Bucher's roots run deep into the heart of Dayton. A great-grandfather who served in the Civil War is buried in Woodland Cemetery, and Bucher still lives in the house on Grafton Avenue that his grandfather bought in 1921. Growing up in Dayton's Five Oaks neighborhood, Bucher turned his eye to film, and with a Super 8 camera in hand, he'd make movies. His friends would star in them.
I'd go down to the library downtown, and I'd look up producers' names and directors. I was going to take off to L.A., and I was going to be a director. You know, I just loved it and loved slapstick and a lot of the old fun comedies.
Making movies was a lot more fun than going to school, and often Bucher just didn't go.
My art teacher, who I swear saved my life, Terry Chamberlain, said, listen, to get you to stay to school, what's it going to take? I said, I just don't like it. I don't like that thing. He goes, you know, you make films. He said, film is art. So he says, you know, instead of drawing and coloring and painting and art, I'll let you make films. And man, it just the light bulb went on right there. So that's where it kind of all started right there.
Movie making was an expensive hobby, and to get around the high cost of film, Bucher's father suggested that he get involved with a budding public access station, DATV. That led him to work at WDTN and his 30-year career as a reporter and host of Bucher's Beat. Then in January of 2013, Bucher was told the station was changing its focus.
I got offered a job in sales to completely be off the air, and I thought, and that was on a Friday, and I said, can I think about it? Yeah. And then Monday, I'm like, I don't want to do sales. I'm not a sales guy. I don't think it'll work. I just had so many doubts. So I said no, and he says, well, I can get you a little bit of severance, and your last day will be here. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to get walked to the door. So I came in over the weekend at 3 in the morning with my kids, and I backed my van up to the station. And I unloaded my desk, and I disappeared on my own terms. So I just thought, you're not going to disrespect me after 30 years and walk me to the door.
So Bucher had to find a new beat. In his home on Grafton Avenue, Bucher is raising his two children on his own. Today, he's close to getting his daughter, Chloe, off to school.
All right, so let's talk about school. Are you ready to, like, go at it today? You ready to do it?
It's only 4 hours. Yeah.
Okay. Do you need to eat breakfast first?
No, I'm good.
God, you look just like me. You're cursed. Read it like I wrote it.
I think the main thing was I was getting, I don't think complacent, but, you know, after 30 years, I was doing kind of the same thing. And this is where I do believe God has a plan. I just think he needed to push me out the door a little bit and go, you know what, you need to do something else. And I always had in the back of my mind I wanted to work for myself. That means a lot. It means a lot to me, and I think it's good for your psyche. You know?
At the TV station, Booker had resources, equipment, and personnel to work with. On his own, he notes the irony in the fact that he left Channel 2 because he didn't want to do sales. Now he has to sell himself. He's doing freelance work that includes writing, producing videos, and doing PR work for companies who want to tie their brand to a local celebrity. Booker's got a wide following on Facebook, and in spite of the fact that he's working more hours, he says he has more time to raise his two children.
Before, working in television news, you're basically on call all the time. Yeah, you did have an eight-hour shift, but if the weather was bad or there was a major catastrophe, you know, all hands on deck, so you would work nights, weekends, overnights, and also personal appearances. So the positive dynamic is spending more time with my kids, being able to do stuff, picking them up at school now is great. I wasn't able to do that before. So that's a positive, I think, is being closer to the family, closer to the kids.
If reinventing ourselves is about how we deal with the changes in our lives, then Jim Booker has done that, and he stands ready for any more changes that come his way.
My dad planted that tree when I was born, this magnolia tree, and it's kind of cool because it's as old as me, and it looks a little weathered. It's, you know, it could use some trimming. It's pretty beat up, but you know what? It's going to survive, and so am I.
Co-producer on this story was filmmaker Basim Blunt. To see our short film about Jim Booker, visit the WYSO website, wyso.org. Major funding for the second season of Reinvention Stories comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation with support from Wright State University Celia Fund, the Yellow Springs Community Foundation, and Antioch College. I'm Jerry Kenney. You're listening to WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning. In the summer of 1973, Cesar Chavez came to Dayton from the strike lines of Coachella, California, to talk about the plight of farm workers. There was a week of activities, and WYSO News was right in the middle of it. We have those recordings. Rediscovered Radio's Jocelyn Robinson takes a look at the struggles facing the migrant worker community then and now.
When United Farm Workers Union organizer Cesar Chavez spoke at the University of Dayton over 40 years ago, the hardships he described sounded real, but seemed far away.
I left Coachella directly from the picket line about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the temperature there was 121 degrees. You could see the men and women and children on the picket line going the tremendous sacrifice of standing there under the blazing sun and being a witness to those things that they believe in.
When I was growing up, grapes were never on the menu. Back then, households all over the country boycotted grapes and lettuce to show solidarity with the striking California workers and Cesar Chavez.
These men, women, and children who are asked to migrate 2,000-3,000 miles a year, they're responsible for the fruits and the vegetables and the nuts and the cereals, the grains that you eat almost every time you sit in that table. And when you sit in a table and you see a luscious piece of fruit or vegetables, keep in mind that almost, with very few exceptions, that fruit got there because someone was exploited, someone was sacrificed with no hopes of any return for their labors to get that fruit there to feed you and the rest of the country and part of the world.
We were largely unaware, though, of the struggles of farm workers right here in Ohio, right here in the Miami Valley. WYSO News reported on a UFW rally held on Dayton's Courthouse Square on May 2nd, 1974.
Thursday's rally was the climax for National Farm Worker Week activities in Dayton. The ceremony was conducted to break a 4-day fast undertaken by several farm worker supporters. Bread and Italian Swiss Colony wine, a union brand, was shared. Following Thursday's rally, WYSO News interviewed Dayton's UFW coordinator, Dave Kaler, about the National Farm Worker Week activities.
We wanted to demonstrate this to the public that you know, not only in California and Arizona, you know, thousands of miles away, but right here in Ohio, we have, you know, more than 60,000 farm workers coming in, the farm workers themselves have asked the church to stand with them in their cause, that is to help them build a union.
At that time, migrant workers in the Dayton area mainly kept to the camps near the tomato fields and weren't welcomed into local communities. Most of us rarely heard Spanish and never saw signs in Spanish or foods like cilantro or jalapenos at the supermarket. But things have changed. Today, native Spanish speakers from all over are the fastest-growing demographic in Ohio, increasing over 63% since 2000. Yet the migrant worker population has dwindled. Many who first came here from Mexico for seasonal work have settled permanently, attracted by the low cost of living and potential for year-round jobs. Now Spanish is heard in grocery stores and malls, and the people who seemed invisible 40 years ago are neighbors, classmates, and coworkers. Dr. Arendra Lopez Garcia, a psychologist at Wright State University and an advocate for Latinas in Ohio, feels there's a need for a new activism, one that embraces the diverse peoples now woven into the fabric of the Miami Valley.
Now we have to move into another type of boycott and another type of action and another type of intervention. And then not only bringing someone in here, but what support system you are going to have in order for these people to succeed.
In 2011, the city of Dayton proclaimed the area to be immigrant-friendly. Groups like the Latino Connection, El Puente, and Del Pueblo in Clark County are working to make that claim a reality. For Rediscovered Radio at WYSO, I'm Jocelyn Robinson.
Major funding for Rediscovered Radio is provided by the Ohio Humanities Council and the Greene County Public Library. This is WYSO Weekend. Best-selling author and American radio personality Garrison Keillor will introduce the Keillor Reader Wednesday, May 7th at Books & Company at the Greene. The event starts at 7 p.m. This week by phone, he spoke with WYSO music director Nikki Dakota. He talked about the 40th anniversary of Prairie Home Companion, and Nikki asked him, after all these years, why do we care about people we'll never meet, the people of Lake Wobegon?
Well, I think maybe what interests you is that when I get up and say it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, and I talk a little bit about the weather, and then we sort of get into what people are talking about, usually it involves some kind of scandal, however minor, and I am sharing secrets with you. I'm sharing secrets because in a small town there are no secrets, you know. Everybody knows way too much about just about everybody, and people have given up on the idea of privacy. They just find a way to deal with it. But if you've had bad nights in your marriage, you know, when you stood in the kitchen and yelled at each other, people know this. They know when you've made a fool of yourself. And they know if your children have let you down, or if your children have gone off and done foolish things. They can sense your shame. They can sense your self-consciousness. They know it all, and they can see the ridiculous things you're doing with your lawn, and you know, your the cast iron deer and the plaster chipmunks and gnomes and the cardboard cutouts of fat people bending over. They can see your bad taste is out there. Now people have clothes dryers, you know, so they don't get to look at your underwear hanging out on the line, but they know a lot about you. If your car wouldn't start, you know, and you find yourself walking down a dark road at midnight in winter, there's no better place for you than to be in Lake Wobegon, and they will do anything they can to help you. They really will. But if you live there, they can be they can be meaner than skunks.
WYSO, this radio station, is located in the small village of Yellow Springs, 4,000 mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. North and a little east of Dayton, Ohio, and certainly we do all feel that we know each other pretty well.
But you've got a college. You're a college town.
We are.
That's
Antioch
entirely
college.
Different. Antioch, I mean, my gosh.
Yeah.
You have a prestigious small American college there.
We certainly do, and it brings a lot of texture and interest to mm-hmm. our lives.
I imagine.
Garrison Keillor will present the Keillor Reader Wednesday, May 7th, 7 p.m. at Books & Company at The Green. You're listening to WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. Chick and Dave Hussong's Hall of Fame Blues Show has been a part of WYSO's programming lineup for over 30 years, and now on the last Monday of every month, Dave brings you live music from the WYSO studios. He's already featured Eric Girardi and Dixie Peach, and this past Monday, his esteemed guests were in studio. The Noah Witherspoon Band, Noah, Rob Thaxton, and Josh Gonzalez brought the blues to the WYSO studios for the latest edition of Shake's Hall Pass. The trio performed a variety of blues tunes, even getting Shake and Dave to sit in on a final song. Here's a good dose of what listeners heard.
Force of Nature Band live here at WYSO on the last Monday of April. Josh Gonzalez, Rob Thaxton, and Noah Witherspoon.
It has been a huge honor, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on a beautiful career in radio.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I don't want to say anything about retiring, but I don't know how long they're going to let me up here. I'll try for 40 years. I'm already past 30. What the heck?
Well, thank you for the education.
Oh, man, it's been such a pleasure having you guys. I had to really keep my feet in place. I was almost in there ready to sing Black Knight with you, man.
You know, but you're welcome to.
I'm thinking about it, man.
Let's do it, man.
All right. Do it in G, what the heck.
All right, man.
Listen here, baby. Nobody cares about me. You know I haven't got a friend. Don't seem like I'm living, baby. When will my troubles end? Black night is falling. Gee, how I hate to be left alone. I keep crying for my baby. Lord, I guess another day is gone, and it ain't never coming back. You know I have no one to talk to. Tell my troubles to. Don't seem like I'm living, baby, since I lost you. Black night is falling. Do you know how I hate to be? Hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby. Lord, I guess another day is gone.
Take it, Noah, please. Troubles. My papa's got them too. Lost a brother in Vietnam, baby. Lost one in Afghanistan too. Black night is falling. Gee, how I hate to be. Gee, how I hate to be alone. Hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby. I guess another day is gone, and it ain't never coming back.
Thank you, gentlemen. I sure appreciate that.
That's a Shake and Dave Huss song.
Well, I've only been up here with Juliet for three of these sessions, but she's taught me how to be in two places at once. And I'm eternally grateful. I'm shaken, living up to my name.
I am too.
Well, bless you, brother. That was special. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, Rob and Josh. And Noah.
We love you, man.
Love you, too. Thanks for coming up. And I was corrected. It won't be downloadable, but you will be able to live stream it here before too long on WYSO.org. Check it out. It's like where else but on WYSO, huh?
Shake and Dave Hussong belting it out with the Noah Witherspoon Band. Dave's guests on Monday's Hall Pass, heard on the last Monday of the month
on the Hall of Fame Blues Show on WYSO. You can get the whole interview and all that great music online at WYSO.org. That's it for this edition of WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WYSO.org, a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. Thanks to all our guests, and thank you for listening to member-supported public radio, WYSO. Coming up next, the Book Nook.